This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. 2 hours away, under 2 hours away from the start of NFL free agency. The land rush begins. It's anything like last year? I don't know. Do you think people will get as angry if the Texans don't make any day one moves this year versus last year, Seth, knowing that they're operating with a little bit more financial constraint this year than last year?
Okay, they've already, not technically, but they've already made a day one move in signing Sheldon Rankins.
Sure.
So since day one starts at what time today?
11 a.m.
Central 11 a.m.
Yeah.
They signed Sheldon Rankins. I'm guessing it was agreed to over the weekend or whatever it's reported today. That Sheldon Rankins is already a move, at least, in free agency. They've already made a trade. So I don't think so. It's not like that. Last year, I think people had this perception that the Texans were just going to sit on their hands and do absolutely nothing. And the reality was that they just waited 36 hours or so to get started. And then they made a huge splash. I think that you've already added Christian Kirk. You've already added Sheldon Rankins. The Christian Kirk is much more of a headline grabbing and, you know, potentially more impactful move.
Yeah.
I think now it's going to be, I think by and large, most Texans fans weren't all that interested in DK Metcalf because of the price tag, the draft pick you would have had to give up. Although DK Metcalf did go for less than I thought he would. I thought it would be at least like a couple second round picks.
Yeah.
He goes for only a second round pick. But they've just, most people feel like, all right, interior offensive line, wide receiver, defensive tackle, possibly a tight end, although it would get complicated. Those are the things you really want to address in free agency. And as long as they address those things, I'm not going to say people are going to be super excited about it, but they're going to be somewhat placated.
We said this time last year, and you bringing up the Metcalf trade. And again, for those who missed it, he got traded to the Steelers for a second round pick. And then the Steelers almost immediately redid his deal or added 4 years onto his deal at $33 million a year. I felt this way last year. I feel even stronger about it now that the DK Metcalf trade went down the way it did. Teams have a far less of an appetite to trade high draft capital for the right to overpay somebody now. There was a time where that was the new thing. Laramie Tunsil, Khalil Mack, Deshaun Watson, I think, you know, falls into that bucket.
Jalen Ramsey,
specifically at the wide receiver position. Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams within days of each other a couple of off seasons ago. And you look at that, and it damages you in two places. It's a huge hit against the cap, and you're trading high-level draft capital to do that. You're getting double whammied. These deals have to work out so well for you to claim victory when you trade a first-round pick and then more for the right to pay somebody. You know, like even look at Stephon Diggs, the way it ended with Diggs in Buffalo. That was one of the more successful ones, and that relationship ended with him bellyaching his way out of town, you know? And so I think that, to me, this is the market. If you have a marquee player that has a year left on his deal, I think that the Bengals are going to find this out with Trey Hendrickson. Especially now that Myles Garrett blew the roof off of the edge rusher market. Trey Hendrickson has been given permission to go find a trade partner for the Bengals to move him so he can get a new extension at the Myles Garrett, Max Crosby level, teams are just not going to, in my opinion, maybe I'll be wrong. I don't think teams are in the market or in the business anymore, Seth, of trading a first rounder or multiple first rounders for the right to give a guy a contract that eats up a bleep ton of cap space anymore. I think that's why Seattle got a very modest second round pick for DK Metcalf because the Steelers knew we got to pay the guy.
Well, and look, the thing with DK Metcalf is, all right, he's going to make, is it 30 or 33 million
it's
per the, year?
I thought it was 30. It's an average of 30. You know the way they do these things. The 4 years that got added on were at 33 a year.
Oh,
so you know
okay.
how the agents
okay,
do
Okay, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing with God or the thing with Metcalf was though too, you're gonna trade for him. But if you're one of those teams that's willing to pay $35 million per year, Chris Godwin is gonna be a free agent in a few hours.
Yes,
and he's when it comes to the character and football character, leadership, all of that, Chris Godwin is head and shoulders above DK Metcalf. And which makes me just wonder if the Steelers, who don't typically spend really big in free agency, even if it, boy, I wonder what Godwin's going to get. Because Justin Jefferson makes $35 million per year.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, Godwin is a free agent. He's 29 years old.
He's been banged up.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets Jefferson money, but I think he gets 30. I think he gets over 30. We'll see. I was thinking about this weekend, and you and I are going to be hitting refresh on all these lists all day long. Like, people love NFL free agency, and the NFL has turned the offseason into its own industry. I mean, you got the regular season, you got the postseason, and the offseason in the NFL has so many milestones, Seth, and has so many facets to it. And everybody's got a draft. The NFL's draft is so much better than everybody else's. Everybody's got free agency. The NFL's free agency has now evolved into, I think, a better version of what it used to be, just because with player empowerment and more players agitating to get out of places.
Yeah.
It's the ripple effect. I can't think of one area of the offseason that any league does better than the NFL does. You might argue the NBA a few years ago, when guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant would hit the market, that first several days of NBA free agency was pretty marquee stuff. It's not that way anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Part of it is, all right, it's also the most popular sport by a large margin mm-hmm. over any of the other ones. So any of the free agency stuff just gets covered more and more. So it's just, that's the world we live in, where the sports news cycle is a 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah,
I don't want to give Roger Goodell too much credit for it. I think it's more of a sign of the fact that because of fantasy football, because of sports gambling now, and because of player movement, it's become more of a year-round sport.
Yeah.
It does. There's sometimes where I think of people I want to get in touch with throughout the year, like either in media or people who are still in the NFL. And I always think, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to reach out to them when they're less busy. And then I realize all of a sudden it's July. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is the 3-week window when they're less busy and they're on vacation.
And they're on vacation.
Yeah, it's all like it's round the clock. It's 11 months of a year of intensity.
No doubt. I think the free agency thing, and we're going to experience this today, like the sheer fact that there's just more players on an NFL roster, so there's always, always, always stuff happening. I think the NFL salary cap is easier to understand too, even though there's assets there. There's facets of it that maybe aren't super radio friendly. It's way more. The NBA CBA is so incomprehensible unless you are immersed and want to learn it. It's just it's a hard cap to learn. I think even the NFL, like the damn schedule release, man, like they've made that an event. Like they do the calendar so much better than all these other sports.
Yeah, and part of that, again, is I think more just the natural nature of the NFL. It's that, the schedule
games.
Release, it's 17 games.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And home field advantage matters a lot.
Yes.
Just the nature of the sport just, I think, appeals to the average fan, sports fan, way more for a lot of reasons. Like, you can still just, you don't have to follow it every single day to keep up with it, which, ironically enough, because you don't have to follow it every single day, makes it more interesting to a larger number of people throughout the year. But yeah, the schedule release especially, given that, okay, you're thinking, okay, this is when this quarterback's coming to town.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we'll have home field advantage. You already know you have home field advantage, but
prime
you can
time.
Kind of visualize of when it's going to be. Because there's only 17 games, oh, wow, this is a huge game versus probably a really good team in December. That's going to matter a whole lot.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's,
dude.
Yeah, and yeah. Every year, I used to fight it. I used to think, like, oh, schedule release is dumb. Ah, yeah, bah humbug. Now I'm dialed
well,
in.
Well, it helps.
We're not allowed to take a family vacation.
In May when the schedule comes out. Yeah, yeah, it's, well, I mean, it helps when your team is good, obviously. It helps. One of the things you're looking for, when are the primetime games? Helps that your team is actually playing in some primetime games. Cold weather, although the Texans shouldn't have much of that this year. They play the AFC and NFC West. So stuff like that, man. And I do think the other thing, too, that helps the NFL, Seth, unlike the NBA, like the NBA, they have their draft, and then the league is off the grid for 2 months. With the NFL, you have your draft, and the rookies are working out and practicing like a week later. They're in the facility. Like you start to get the feel like, oh, spring is here. You know, here come OTAs. Here come.
You get. The rookie minicamp is the best because that's where.
Hot that's takes. Where,
because you get. You get so excited about rookies who are competing against nobody. And genuinely, like, even though they're not, yeah, there's not great competition out there, but there's also not enough numbers to actually compete.
No.
So all you do is you get to see your players and your new players in their practice uniform for the first time,
yep,
doing really athletic stuff.
Yes.
Like it's like a combine where they're not even having a stopwatch attached to it. So yeah, hope springs eternal at that point.
Now,
he's like, oh my gosh, this guy looks, boy, he looks just as good as he did in all these combine videos, except he's doing it in a Texans uniform. Yeah.
I got excited about Lassiter last year, so I feel vindicated on that one. I was nervous about how skinny Kalen Bullock was. That ended up working out okay.
Yeah.
Skinny little chicken legs, and it worked out okay. Text message, what did Brian Burns get traded for last year from Carolina to the Giants? I feel like that's similar to Hendrickson. He got traded for a 2 and a 5 last year, Brian Burns did. Again, I don't think teams are wanting to trade unless it's a really good play. Like, the Vikings put Justin Jefferson on the market, they'd have probably got 2 firsts for Justin Jefferson from somebody. But it's, I think, gone are the days where a guy who's maybe that second tier of guy, and I think Metcalf is one of those guys, is getting the big first, you know, first and a third, like A.J. Brown did a few years ago on draft.
Yeah, GMs are saying, like, listen, to talking to a GM who's trying to trade for a player, you know, let's say William O'Brien, if he was trying to trade for Laremy Tunsil, what he should have been saying was like, listen, we're gonna have to give this guy a gigantic contract.
That's right.
I can't give up 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil and then give him a league-leading contract.
And who's got
Come
time
on,
for,
man.
Who's got time
I'm
for
William,
that, Seth?
I'm William freaking O'Brien Esquire.
Who's got time to have those long-form conversations about, you know, doing what's best for your team that you work for?
Who's got time when you're also desperately trying to shed Jadeveon Clowney no matter what?
What a
we
day.
We just
got
to get him out of the building,
dude,
no matter what.
What a day that was, man. What
the,
a day.
The one thing that they could do, this is the idea, the all-time idea that I thought was really stupid when I first heard it, and yet now with time, I think it's brilliant, is the Mike Meltzer plan to allow tampering 24/7, 365.
Teams allow, can recruit guys?
Yeah. A coach should just be able to go into a press conference and say, hell yeah, we want that guy to wait till free agency because we're going to go after him hardcore.
Okay,
yeah.
So that, would an environment like that, it'll never happen, but it's really fun to think about. I feel like the Texans would, okay. I feel like the Texans, if D'Amico were to play ball with being allowed to tamper 24/7, 365, I feel like it would be an incredible asset to the Texans just because you're telling me that D'Amico Ryans, who could not be a more charming guy, but very genuine at the same time, you're telling me he's allowed to go talk to any player that he wants to convince him to be a Texan? I feel like that would be a real asset, and yet I feel like there's some level of honor with D'Amico Ryans that even when it's legal, he would feel dirty doing it, you know? Like an honor code of some sort.
He can overcome that.
Okay.
You know, it took him a little while to get into the coach speak version of lying.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not lying, it's coach speak.
Coach speak.
Where he'll get up there and he'll say some coach speak that you feel like, okay, those aren't his genuine feelings, but I get why he has to say that.
Yeah.
It would just take him a little while to come around.
How do you think?
Because that'd be the fun thing is after games, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's
like when
prime
you see.
Tamper time.
You see Kevin O'Connell coming over and cozying up to C.J. Stroud. Oh.
Oh, man. We would have so much content, dude.
That would be
we
awesome,
wouldn't know what to
man.
Do with it. Oh, my God.
That would be so much fun.
That's where I'd need C.J. mic'd up every game. I need to hear what this a-hole is saying to him right now.
Yeah.
Got to be mic'd up. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Free agency begins in an hour and 43 minutes. So be ready. Be ready. All right. Some good news on the injury front for non-Texans, obviously. We're in the offseason. Would have been great to get news on Tank Dell that was good, but we didn't. But good news for the other two teams. I think good news for the other two teams here in town on the injury front that we will get to coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, quick news item that came out overnight that I know a lot of Rocket fans were concerned about in the aftermath of Saturday's win over the Pelicans, in which Amen Thompson was still in the game while the Rockets were up 30-plus. Went up for a jump shot, came down on the whichever player was defending him, came down on that player's foot, twisted his left ankle. According to Shams Charania of ESPN.com, Amen Thompson is going to be out for 10 to 14 days as he's recovering from this sprained ankle. If we take it if we go conservative here, Seth, and let's go the 14 days on this, that he's out for the full 14 days, that would have him back for Sunday, March 23rd, a home game against the Denver Nuggets, which coincidentally is when the schedule starts to increase in difficulty again. The Rockets play several teams over the next 2 weeks. Not as easy as New Orleans was on Friday. That was basically a two-hour layup line. But Orlando tonight at home. Orlando's they're an 8-seed-ish team, play-in team. Phoenix, we know, is at its share of struggles. They're here on Wednesday. They've got Dallas, who's a mess right now. Dallas finished the game this weekend they played with 7 healthy players. And they don't have cap space right now underneath whatever apron it is they're under on the CBA to actually go get guys. I don't know what the solution is for. They've got like $50,000 of space. It costs $119,000 to sign someone to a 10-day contract.
Maybe they could trade Anthony Davis to somebody.
Maybe.
They should do that.
Yeah.
If they're in win-now mode. I hear that's all the rage these days.
Yep. So Dallas, Chicago, Philly, and that wraps up the homestand. And then you're at Orlando, at Miami. So road games that are, there's no layups on the road for this Rockets team, unfortunately. But that's a manageable part of the schedule. Unfortunately, you're missing out on the guy on your roster who rights a lot of wrongs when there's mistakes defensively on the glass. Like, he's a big reason why, even though you don't shoot all that well, you get plenty of possessions because of his tenacity on the glass. You're going to miss Amen Thompson the next
couple
of
weeks. There's been parts this entire calendar year of 2025 where your knee-jerk gut reaction is like, all right, you should be able to handle playing for a stretch without Jabari Smith Jr. And I would say the same in this situation where it's a limited amount of time. You should be able to handle playing without Amen Thompson. Fred VanVleet's injuries is what I guess makes all of that more complicated. The Rockets aren't a good enough team to where they can withstand, I think, two or more of their better players or more critical players being gone. They're not that deep or that good.
No.
That's the part that makes it really, really dicey.
Well, not at that position either. I mean, Fred VanVleet's your floor general. I think he's questionable tonight. Amen's obviously out. But Amen was the guy with no Fred VanVleet, at least for portions while he was in there. He's the one initiating the offense, and now he's out for a couple weeks. So when you get a cluster like that at one key position, it's pretty painful. So there's your update there. The other quick update, Christian Walker, who flew back to Houston with an oblique injury for the Astros, free agent first baseman, big part of what they're going to do this year. The injury not believed to be severe. No strain shown on the MRI, so that was good news for Astro fans. The Myles Garrett contract extension is getting – a ton of attention, and rightfully so. One of the questions somebody asked me this weekend, Seth, and for those who don't know, Myles Garrett, let me ask you this before I get to what people were asking me this weekend. Myles Garrett, who is agitating for a trade since Radio Row, like he was there at the Super Bowl doing interviews, talking about openly about the Washington Commanders as a place he could go. While under contract with the Cleveland Browns, he had been adamant he wanted to be traded. The culture wasn't right in the building. He was literally like bringing up examples of the culture being bad in the building. And lo and behold, here we are coming in on March the 10th, and Myles Garrett all of a sudden is the highest paid non-quarterback in football by a fairly significant amount when you consider that the previous high had been set Thursday of last week. Went from $35.5 million to $40 million. What was your gut reaction about Myles Garrett when you saw this?
My gut reaction was, oh, okay, he's clearly fraudulent in his his claim that he only wanted to go
on the same
for
page. Okay,
a winner. Yeah. He's a fraud. Like, that's just bogus. And he tried to play the PR game. And I think it worked for a little while because Browns fans were like, yeah, you see, what a cesspool. I can see him wanting to get out of here because he wants to be a winner, baby. And then I wondered, if you're a Browns fan, I know how I am. I probably, once I accepted that, okay, Myles Garrett's going to force his way out and the Browns will try to talk a big game and say they don't plan on trading him, I would have started kind of counting up the draft picks in my mind. And I'd start thinking about, man, wow, think about what they could get for Myles Garrett and what we could do with that on this team that still has to deal with Deshaun Watson's huge contract from when the Texans got a boatload of picks for Deshaun Watson. I would have thought, screw this guy.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so you were clearly lying to us. This is what Tony Grossi, who does really funny videos on the internet, he'll do like fan reactions where he pretends he's a Browns fan or a Rams fan or whomever.
Yeah.
This is Tony Grossi doing the Cleveland Browns fan reaction to news that Myles Garrett's coming back.
Myles Garrett is now the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Oh, geez, I wonder what caused the change of heart because he was so dead set on leaving. Oh yeah, money. Remember when Myles Garrett said he wanted to go play for a winner? Hey, at least this means we're drafting a QB, right? Honestly, I think I should be paid $40 million a year just to be a Browns fan. Well, it's a good thing we have no other contracts taking up cap space, right?
I like the little.
It's the last little. It's a lot better on video, except for that last little. I don't know. I wonder. Did you get to listen to Cleveland Radio?
No, I'm going to do it. I didn't get to do that this morning. I'm going to do it today to see.
I'm going to guess the reaction is largely people saying, like, I guess this should be good news, but also remember, this is a guy. Basically, what it ends up being is a guy who had 2 years left on his contract that really tried to stick it to the Browns, and the Browns ended up caving in and giving him the money. And at a time when, man, it sure would be nice if a guy like Myles Garrett would just be the ultimate team player, this, that, and the other thing. It's got to be hard to feel awesome about because Browns fans don't feel like there's any hope in the immediate future for actually being able to take advantage of Myles Garrett and what he can do as a player.
It sounds wild to say this because Myles Garrett is one of the best players in football. This does not position them nearly as well to eventually win a Super Bowl as it would have to have traded Myles Garrett for a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah.
Because this is a version of the Browns that is going downhill fast, still has over $170 million in Deshaun Watson money sitting on future caps, even more now that they turned almost all of his salary into signing bonus this week. Like, Deshaun Watson became more a part of the Browns' future this past week than less a part of the Browns' future. And this is my feeling, Seth. I don't think Andrew Berry's a dumb person. He's their general manager. I think this franchise is so broken that Myles Garrett has become basically the defensive version of what Joe Thomas was to them through the earlier part of this iteration of the Browns, where, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs anytime soon. We're broken. We're probably going to have a young quarterback with no cap space to go do things. At the very least, we're going to take the guy who's been, maybe other than Joe Thomas, our best player of Browns 2.0 since 1999, and make sure that he retires a Brown and waltzes into Canton as a Cleveland Brown. this is all those people have right now is stuff like that. You know
what the Browns are good at doing, taking guys like Joe Thomas or Miles Garrett or Jim Brown. Did they win a championship with Jim Brown?
Back in the day, they did. It was pre-Super Bowls.
So it worked out with Jim Brown.
Yeah. This would be like, it's not a perfect analogy, but I think it's a perfect analogy in terms of where the two teams were. When the Texans, when J.J. Watt still had a year left on his deal, and he didn't want to be here anymore. I think J.J. Watt legitimately didn't want to be here anymore. And he saw that the future looked like, and he wanted to go play somewhere that at least he had a better chance to win. If the Texans had given J.J. Watt in 2021 a four-year market-level deal to make sure he retired a Texan, how do you think people would have reacted
to that? Well, that would have been really weird just because J.J. had had so many injuries by that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not
that would have been uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it really would have been, at least Joe Thomas and Miles Garrett, when they get big contracts to stay with a sinking ship, at least they made sense from a football standpoint. Yeah. You would have been giving J.J. Watt a much better deal than he was able to get when he was out on the market on his own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, I think people would have felt very awkward because they would have wanted to lambaste the deal, yet at the same time felt like, all right, but I do love J.J. Watt. This is just a dumb deal, though.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder if Cleveland people are feeling that with Myles Garrett. Again, I know your point is well taken. He's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate right now. J.J. was not in 2020. But if I were a Browns fan, I'd be like, okay, you know, for who, for what? You know, like, this is...
And you're doing it, and he's doing it. He strong-armed the team into doing it when he had 2 years left on his deal. Mm-hmm. That's the tough part to swallow, is that, man, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt if you really are just so sick of losing that you want to go to a winner and you're trying to force your way out there. At least that feels like something admirable.
Yeah.
Where now what it feels like is, oh, no, you just bent them over a barrel to try to get as much money as possible and are being a complete mercenary about it. So there's very little redeeming value anywhere in there from an emotional standpoint.
Okay, a contract just came down that is of great interest to the Texans. I would say in the short term of even more interest than the Myles Garrett contract we've been discussing. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we'll chop it up about it in the final segment of the show. Because I hate teasing a news item that you can all go look up. But right now, J.C. Horn, young cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, who's a good player. He's not Stingley, but he's a good player. Just agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension, including $70 million guaranteed with the Carolina Panthers at $25 million a year. J.C. Horn, Seth, is now the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. J.C. Horn is deal negotiated by Trevon Smith and David Mulligetta.
Oh, boy. Stingley. David Mulligetta now represents Derek Stingley for any of you that don't know the connection. All right.
Yep. All right, so we'll chop up what that means. Could there be a Stingley extension coming down here sometime soon? We'll talk about that. We got a final segment coming up. Final chance to get rid of, ready for free agency at 11. I'm curious. I want to get on the record for how these musical chairs play out with the quarterbacks. Who do we think winds up with whom? Because we could come in tomorrow, and there could be three or four at least new starting quarterbacks that are big names for teams. So we'll hit that in the final segment, find out what the guys on In the Loop are doing to get you ready for free agency as well. Stay there.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's going to be so much fun over these next few days. I'm just looking up at the screen in here. I was bringing up before, Seth, how the Myles Garrett contract kind of impacts the Texans. You know, does Danielle Hunter, would he be of mind to do an extension with the Texans that helps out with the cap when the price of edge rushers just went to $40 million a year? He's making $24 right now.
Yeah.
Will Anderson Jr., obviously this sets a benchmark for what Will Anderson could be looking for. By the way, Myles Garrett's agent, same agent as Will Anderson's agent, Nicole, I think Nicole Lynn is her name.
Same agent that
did Deshaun Watson's contract with the Browns is C.J. Stroud's agent. Same agent that just did J.C. Horn's contract with the Panthers is Derek Stingley Jr.'s agent. Those are interesting coincidences.
I wish one of those guys had a schmuck agent. They're just some absolute clown.
Yes.
They got to go out and hire good representation.
I hate when they do that. The team that might really be fretting over this Myles Garrett contract, Dallas Cowboys, they have yet to pay Micah Parsons. They might have been wishing they paid Micah Parsons a year ago when the price for an edge rusher was like $10 million less than what it is right now.
I get the sense that Micah Parsons didn't agitate once for a renegotiation or a new contract or anything. You know, we had our sister station up there in Dallas at one point had floated out that they believed that there were people in the Cowboys organization that wouldn't be all that upset to see Micah Parsons end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that plays out between Micah Parsons and the Cowboys, but I've never felt in the last couple of years like Micah Parsons is going to be a lifelong Dallas Cowboy. I don't know. But I also don't trust that Jerry Jones is going to know how to maneuver the situation. They might just keep kicking the can down the road on him. I don't know.
Cowboys been opening up a bunch of cap space over the last couple of days. They restructured Dak, which they almost had to. He was like $90 million cap hit. They restructured Dak and CeeDee Lamb to open up like $50 or $60 million in cap space. So we'll see how interesting they are. But the one thing we can tell you is that with J.C. Horn's contract with the Panthers, a new benchmark has been set in some way at each of what I think, Seth, are the positions that I would bet my life savings that the Texans want to bring these three guys back. And it's Stingley. When I say bring these guys back, I would like extend them, sign them to a second contract so that they never hit free agency. Stingley, Will Anderson Jr., and C.J. Stroud. Stingley's market, just the cornerback market, just got reset by J.C. Horn moments ago. 4 years, $100 million. Up to $108 million max, $70 million guaranteed. Myles Garrett resets the edge rusher market, really any non-quarterback at $40 million a year, $123 million guaranteed. And then Josh Allen doesn't reset the average annual value at quarterback, but he blew past Deshaun Watson's total guarantee. He got $250 million guaranteed. So the magical young three players for the Texans all have markets that they should this morning wake up keeping an eye on heavy.
Okay, this is where you get into the unfortunate situation that we found various teams, and the Dallas Cowboys are one of them. When you have three guys who are considered three of the best at their position and their marquee positions, the Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb. You know, Dak Prescott, you could argue about just how good he is, but he's a quarterback and they're going to get paid. And then you have Micah Parsons also. Like, sometimes it's hard. You put yourself in a tough situation when you draft too well. And go back to the Lions back in the day when they had Matt Stafford and Ndamukong Suh and
Megatron,
yeah, all at once. And it's hard to give out the contracts that those guys deserve, but also build in an entire team around them. The Texans might find themselves in that situation when you look at C.J. Stroud, Derek Stingley, and Will Anderson within the next really 18 months. When a lot of this stuff will come due. They got to get out ahead of the Derek Stingley stuff. I don't think there's... Because if you don't do Derek Stingley's deal this year, it's only going to be more expensive next year. So it might be a tough or a bitter pill to swallow in the short term, but they've got a plan for that. And that's one of the things that's going to keep the Texans from, I think, being really aggressive in free agency. More so than just their cap situation this year. Because they're not in bad cap situation. It's just they don't have a lot of room this specific year.
Yeah.
And they're also planning for those future contracts they're going to have to dole out. It's a good problem to have, but it's also one that needs to be handled with a lot of deftness.
No doubt. Texter on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Stingley is about to get not my money paid. He quotes around, not my money.
Yeah. Us as fans.
Yeah.
I say, hey, it's not my money.
Not my money. Yep, he is.
I was reading a book this weekend, Sean. Mm-hmm. It's by Ken Kesey. It's Sometimes a Great Notion, but there's a character who at one point says, you know, that I've learned enough to know that sometimes a man is better off at times when he doesn't have a great grasp of mathematics. That's the philosophy I'm taking right now.
I'm a cap.
Just spend it, Nick.
Yeah.
Spend it, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Still you and your fancy arithmetic.
Put the calculator.
Get out of here with that abacus.
That's right.
Spend that money.
Put the calculator away. Text message. Guess who has more sacks the last 2 years, Myles Garrett or Danielle Hunter? I'm going to guess Danielle Hunter because of the nature of the question. And, yeah, if I was Danielle Hunter and I was down the road of talking to the Texans about an extension and the last 4 days happened where Crosby gets 35 and a half.
Yeah.
And then Myles Garrett gets 40 per year. I'd probably hit pause as well and just go, hey, let's take a step back here, man.
If I were Nick Caserio, I would have answered, I would have said, Myles Garrett has more sacks than Derek Stingley. Come talk to me then. Look at his sack numbers.
Right.
They're pathetic. No, we can't pay him. Can't pay him that kind of money. Yeah, sure. Myles Garrett's got a boatload of sacks, and Derek Stingley's just sitting around back there. Yeah.
That might work. All right, so to me, the most intriguing stuff today, non-Texans related, is the quarterback situation. We've got, by my count, Seth, we had six teams with quarterback issues going into the weekend. We still have six teams with quarterback issues, but I feel like whatever issue the Raiders had is now the Seahawks issue because they picked up Geno Smith. We know Geno Smith's going to start for the Raiders. May not prevent the Raiders from using the sixth pick on a quarterback. The word is they might use it on Ashton Jeanty from Boise State. That's kind of fun. Seahawks, Giants, Titans, Jets, Browns, Steelers are all teams that are, I think, in need of a starting quarterback right now. Of those, do you have one in particular that is most intriguing or a quarterback from among Darnold, Rodgers, Fields, and Russell Wilson, who are the available veteran guys?
The two that I'm most intrigued by are right now because the Seahawks, in the course of one weekend, shed Geno Smith, who is at the very least a competent NFL quarterback.
Yes.
2022 is his high water mark, but they get rid of their quarterback and they get rid of their stud wide receiver after a season in which they won 10 games. What is their plan for 2025? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then the Steelers, just the Steelers go out and trade for a guy and then immediately give him a huge contract. They showed that they were willing to do it last year when they got very close to signing Brandon Ayuk. But what is their plan for quarterback, and how could it possibly be Sam Darnold or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else right now?
Yeah.
And also, as a little add-on to that, DK Metcalf supposedly only going to wanting to go to a warm weather Super Bowl contender, goes to a cold weather team with no quarterback other than Justin Fields right now.
Cold weather team that got knocked out in the wild card round last year. Yeah, I'm with you. The Seahawks, we should add, they cut Tyler Lockett too, who's not what he used to be, but was a vital part of that team for the last decade. It's going to get interesting, kind of musical chairs-wise, with the veteran quarterbacks, because there's six teams that need one, but there's really only four, as of right now, that I think you can say with a straight face would be a starter on a team that would sign them, and that's Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers. Justin Fields is being discussed as a starter for a couple of these teams, so I'll throw him in there. And then Russell Wilson, who was a starter for the Steelers last year. And then we don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to get cut. He could be out there. My plea to the NFL is this. If Kirk Cousins gets cut, do not just hand him $30 or $40 million because he threw for a bunch of yards with Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, all these great receivers on his team back in the day. You know, Kyle Rudolph, which led to TJ Hockenson, all this. Don't do it. Do not be the team that gives Kirk Cousins $30 or $40 million to fire up a bunch of empty calories for you.
Right. And to be clear, just to clarify, I think Justin Fields is a free agent, but it's almost been talked about who else would want him? The Steelers will retain him. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the Jets supposedly are in on Justin Fields.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Steelers they have no quarterback unless they decided to retain or we get news that they retain Justin Fields. But the word is that he's going to test the market.
Yeah.
I think that Aaron Rodgers is the most intriguing guy. that there's got to be a team out there that feels like, all right, we're going to draft a quarterback, but maybe we don't have a high draft pick, or we're not going to get, you know, there's no quarterbacks that everybody feels outstandingly awesome about.
Yeah.
Just does Aaron Rodgers land somewhere in the next few days, or is this something that's more of something that plays out over time?
I'm going to go Rodgers Steelers, and I think it might happen today, and that's because I feel like they don't make a DK Metcalf trade if they don't have a like a passing quarterback situation in mind. Not Justin Fields, who's, you know, although I think Justin Fields in an Arthur Smith offense would be interesting, but I'm going to go Rodgers Steelers. I'm going to go Darnold to the Seahawks. I'm going to go Fields to the Jets. And then that leaves Russell Wilson sitting out there. You know what? Sorry, Giants. You got to get Russell Wilson. He wants to go to New York with Sierra.
Put some respect on Daniel Jones' name. My God.
He is getting some love right now, man. He is getting some love.
Is it love, or is it kind of like, it's 2 a.m. at the bar? All right. Yeah. Daniel Jones. Here we go.
There was a time in my life where that was love, Seth. 2 a.m. at the bar.
Mac Jones. Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Yeah. Excited. Very excited. Trade Davis Mills, someone is saying. I don't think they want to trade Davis Mills.
I don't think they feel a pressing need to trade Davis Mills, right. But I think they're in a spot where the day they gave him that contract, they're thinking, well, yeah, if somebody came to us and got desperate and offered us a good trade for Davis Mills, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So that might be the thing nobody's talking about right now that could possibly happen is a Davis Mills trade at some point.
Would you trade Davis Mills for a fourth-round pick?
Or which one?
Fourth-round.
No, not
fourth
a fourth-round pick. Okay. No, I think they like having him as their backup quarterback. I think second round is the they want to feel they want to have a guy that's – I mean, he doesn't know this system, but at the very least, he can be here through the offseason and everything. And I don't – unless they add some veteran dude or something in free agency, I think that they probably just like having a guy that's on the roster and in all the meetings that they can trust. So a second-round pick – well, a third-round. Third-round pick or more.
That's the sweet spot?
Yeah, third I think a second pick? Or a third-round yeah. pick. Because, like, realistically, Davis Mills is fine as a backup quarterback, but does he really feel like the guy that if Deshaun Watson gets injured, your season isn't totally – or excuse me, if C.J. Stroud gets injured, that your season isn't totally kaput?
I think he could go if C.J. Stroud had to go out for a month, I think Davis Mills, depending on the schedule, could win you a couple games. You
right, know? But yeah. if C.J. Stroud got injured for 10 games, I think your season is kaput.
Probably so.
There's usually guys out there that you can go out and get that might be able to get you to 500 for a two- or three-game period. Gardner Minshew or somebody. So if somebody offers up a second or a third-rounder for Davis Mills, sayonara. Yeah.
That would have to be a really swarmy defense if C.J.'s out for 10 weeks.
And
really.
Nick Foles and Davis Mills comes in and Nick Foles it.
Yeah. What's up, boys?
Howdy, how are you?
I just love this. This is one of my favorite days, man. So, John, I wanted to ask you, Reggie, you weren't here with us last year when the first day of free agency hit.
Mm-hmm.
But John Lopez did not like the level of inactivity the Texans were displaying in free agency in day one last year. Is that a fair categorization?
This is correct.
You were agitated at the lack of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Did they eventually satisfy your needs in free agency last year?
Absolutely, but remember, I was also in the boat that you need to spend some money.
Right.
What I call it, big, smart money or something like
that.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, I don't know how you and Seth were on this about as far as spending a lot of money, but ultimately they did. They just kind of slow-footed it at the start.
We were definitely not agitated that they didn't do anything the first day.
Yeah.
No, we were – Sean and I honestly felt like we were under attack as aging old men that didn't know what we were talking about or lacked aggression or something. Because we were praising – at the very least, the exercise of discretion.
Yeah.
That, like, okay, listen, going out and making a huge, huge splurge on day one of free agency, more times than not, doesn't work out. Doesn't mean that it can't work out, but it's not something that I need in my life.
Right.
So, we bring that up to ask both of you, Reggie and John, what are the expectations today? What will get you excited? Are you going to be, if we get to the end of the day and the Texans have not really added anything, are you going to be all right with that?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I think the places that I'm looking for them to do things is on the margins, right? Is depth type stuff. And the only other place, I think the only place where I'm hoping that they kind of spend big in free agency is probably those guards. And I don't know that those are going to be the big splashy things that happen early on day one. I could be wrong, right? We could find, you know, hear Will Fries, I keep seeing his name and doing that, but Will Fries come through at 11:02 as one of the greatest negotiator of all time, right? And then all of a sudden I feel different, but it feels like those are going to be the ones that take a little bit of time.
If he goes at 11:02 a.m., it will not be to the Texans. I feel safe in saying that.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently this year because they have less resources to go do?
Well, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. It's a different year. See, last year it was about, hey, man, you got this guy, rookie contract, go for it, spend some money. Ultimately, they did, and I was happy. This year, well, we saw what happened with J.C. Horn, and you got three guys that are going to be coming due real quick.
Yeah.
So it's a different feel. Now, I also feel like they're going to be a little more, maybe frugal is the wrong word, but smart with their money. Which might mean frugal.
Why does frugal have to have a negative connotation here?
I caught myself there. Be on the defensive side, and maybe that's where they go.
Yeah,
I thought frugal was the good connotation, right? Like it's when we want to call you cheap is a different.
Not when you're in the same room with Moneybags Lopez. I guess that's it.
Well, plus, I mean, they've already gotten started on the free agency / trade period because they got Christian Kirk, they signed Sheldon Rankins before everything officially got started up this morning. So I feel like there's probably already been more kind of the activity around this weekend and Monday than there was last year. So it already feels like, okay, they've made some moves. None of them are super, super aggressive, but they're being active as Caserio tends to be.
The only thing that would make me angry is if by the end of like the free agency flurry, the first 3 days or so, if there's been no additions on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. If they're just running it back if the optics are we're running it back with this crew or maybe using the draft, then I'll be a little disappointed with the caveat I need to see what the market looked like. Mm-hmm. If the market was crazy, then I won't be as agitated. But that's where everybody's keeping an eye on right now.
All that to say, it doesn't mean I don't have FOMO. Because that's still a very real feeling.
For sure, for sure. All right, boys. Well, this is where to keep it tuned all day long here for free agency. 11 a.m. it begins. I imagine you guys are going to have all the trackers open and things like that. You guys will have it first here on the radio.
I'm a little concerned, though. Did you guys also notice Twitter buffering a little bit earlier this morning?
Yes, Twitter's just a bad day for
good.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was my computer. I restarted my computer and everything. Yeah. Okay, that was Twitter issue.
Yeah,
Twitter
so I'm issues. Like, hey, are y'all ready for today? Because I feel like things are going to be happening today on Twitter. Fellas.
Yeah,
come on. Elon, don't put a cannonball through my Tesla truck window here. Let's get this thing right the first time. Come on.
Seth, antibodies to you. Enjoy the day, my friend.
Antibodies and a bunch of middle-class signings to you.
Mid-level signings.
Financial conservatism.
Yes.
Pelvic thrust. Yeah.
Get out and vote. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station.